Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
I'm dealing with what I've called secrets that power life. The word secrets, another word for the word secret is called mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. All right. The mysteries that power life. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen attentively. Greatness in life is not by luck. If you see anybody that looks like they are just lucky, you will find out two things about them. Number one, if it was truly luck, that greatness will not be sustained. As it comes, that's where it will disappear. A good example is lottery winners. You know what I'm talking about? Lottery winners will make, pam! My father, when I was a young child, my father was just an addicted gambler. From pool to lottery. So one time he won the biggest amount for lottery, 3 million naira. I felt like I was the son of the president. Is anybody hearing me? This is not a laughing matter. Oh. The celebration alone for the win was more than the money that was won. And I just felt that, Kai, all the suffering has come to an end. You know, for a family where you only eat, we eat rice twice in a year. Christmas Day, and then Easter. The Easter one is not too guaranteed. But you are sure of the Christmas one. It's rice and stew. The aroma of the stew, they reach the end of our street. Are you still with me, somebody? What am I trying to say? But the same way the money came like this, that's how it also disappeared. My father bought one Beetle without 3 million. And we just felt like we have arrived. But you see, once there is nothing backing it up, it will disappear. But the second thing about people, ladies and gentlemen, who have made it in life, who come into a world that you think is an instant world, it's not true. You are only finding out now they've been working for a long time. To you, it's instant. To you, it's overnight. Ask those who know them. They will tell you the years of failure, years of suffering, and so on and so forth. Are you with me, somebody? No greatness is by luck. No greatness is by an accident. No greatness is magical. If you see true greatness, ladies and gentlemen, two things are responsible. Number one, there is natural effort, which is what I just talked about. You will look at it as an overnight success. No, this guy has been working hard. This guy has been doing a lot. This guy has been through training, rehearsal, he's suffered, he's failed, he's tried this and tried that before, and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a natural effort, but beyond that, there is always a supernatural sponsorship. There's something that happened, something that you don't know about that happened in the realm of the spirit. The Bible said concerning Job that he was the wealthiest man in the East. And for somebody, Job was lucky. For another person, Job was just an overnight success. For another person, maybe luck just smiled on him. But between Satan and God, ladies and gentlemen, there was something that sponsored Job that made him to become the wealthiest man in the East. And it was during a conversation between Satan and God that God was boasting of Job and said, have you checked out my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's a great guy, he's a this, he's a that. And Satan said, calm down. God, is Job serving you for nothing? Are we not aware that you sponsored Job? Are we not aware that, number one, you made an edge around him? You made an edge around his family. You made an edge. So when we are attacking other people's business, we couldn't attack his own because you made an edge around his business. In fact, you made an edge around all that belongs to him. What was Satan saying? God, you can boast about Job all you want to boast about. Between me and you, we know the real secret. People on the street may think Job is lucky, but between you and me, he's sponsored. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I want to declare over you, divine sponsorship will work for you this year in the name of Jesus. Divine sponsorship will see you through this year in the name of Jesus. A hand that nobody is seeing will sponsor you this year in the name of Jesus. Please say better amen if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, run through your Bible and you will discover that nothing, no people don't just make it anywhere. If you see any man that is significant, that man was sponsored. You know the interesting thing about God and sponsorship? Sometimes the people he sponsors are not even Christians. Not even Christians. Not even Christians. There's a gentleman in the scripture called Cyrus. He was the fourth king that Daniel served. Is anybody hearing me? Talk to me, is anybody hearing me? In Isaiah 45, speaking about Cyrus, he says, thus says the Lord to his anointed. Now please notice, this man is anointed, he's not a Christian. He's not a Jew. He's not a follower of God. But God calls him anointed. To Cyrus, I'm reading Isaiah 45, verse 1. Whose right hand I have holden. God said, this man is not born again, but I've holden his right hand to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break the grates of brass, cut in asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Blah, 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 blah. If you go on to verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have called you by name. I have surnamed you. Everybody read the last thing with me. One, two, go. Though thou hast not known me. He does not know God. But let me tell you why God raised Cyrus. Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. Israel needs to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. God knew they would be needing funds. They don't need small money, not big money, to rebuild an entire city, including the temple, including the walls. God knew they needed a lot of money. So he said, for Jacob's sake, for the sake, I need to raise a king. He may not be my child. He may not be somebody who knows me, but I need him for a project. So God raised Cyrus as one of the kings that will sponsor the rebuilding of Israel, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So God raised him and said, I have anointed you, even though you don't know my name. What am I trying to say, ladies and gentlemen? To all the other kings in the east, Cyrus was just hardworking. To all the other kings, Cyrus was lucky to be blessed. To every other person, but what people don't know is that God said, I'm the one that anointed you. It is my hand that is powering you. This year, God's hand will power your life. It will power your business. It will power your job. It will power your health. It will advance your ministry. The people saying amen are like 10 people in front of this place. The rest of you, I don't know which church you came to. But again, let me prophesy. A supernatural and nobody is saying will power your life this year. Will sponsor your destiny this year. Will sponsor your ministry this year. Will sponsor your business this year. Shout aloud amen, somebody. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are careful, one thing you will notice about great leaders and kings all over the world, especially in the medieval times, you will notice that there's no king without a magician or sorcerers or enchanters. Why do these great men always have these guys around them? Is anybody hearing me? Why do they always have this spiritual either priests or prophets? And I mean, some of them are native doctors in the negative. Some of them are babalawos. Some of them are real prophets and pastors. And listen, I'm yet to find any great king who don't add one spiritual advisor very close to them. Who is very close to them because of what they need them for. The question is, why do these men always need them? Very simple. Because these prophets and kings, they exist to connect these kings and these leaders, they exist to connect them to the mysteries of God. That's why the scripture we read says that they are ministers of God. They are stewards of the mysteries of God. That there are pastors, there are men, there are prophets around you whose assignment is to help faithfully steward the mysteries of God to a generation. Can I hear an amen, somebody? So ladies and gentlemen, when you're coming to church in 2026, please, I beg you, for a moment, suspend your intellectualism. Suspend your analysis that always leads to paralysis. Sometimes as you're coming to church, just calm down and be ministered to. Because it's not everything that will align with your intellectualism. It's not everything that will bow to your deductions and extrapolations. It's not everything that is subject to your human wisdom. There are mysteries that are far beyond you. So when, that's why the Bible says those who have the kingdom, they are like little children. They are coming to say, I don't know anything. Teach me, man of God. Because if you do not come with that posture and attitude, and everything that is done in the house of God, you sit down and do analysis and so on, you will never enter into the place of your rest spiritually. But this year, I pray that the hand of God, even the mysterious and the supernatural hand of God, will sponsor you in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen, somebody. For time's sake, ladies and gentlemen, there are six mysteries that sponsor life. In the first service, I spoke about the first three of them. I spoke about, number one, visitation. I spoke about altars. And I also spoke about blessing. In this service, I want to speak about purpose, about covenant, and about power. Somebody say after me, purpose. I can't hear you say after me, purpose. I can't hear you say after me, purpose. Pastor, what is purpose? Purpose is very simple. It is doing what you were meant to do at the time you were meant to do it. And listen, nothing gives life meaning like purpose. As a matter of fact, Miles Monroe will say that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. That your life becomes an abuse. And the word abuse is two words, abnormal use. So if your life is not fulfilling purpose, this is the microphone. Its assignment is to amplify my voice. But how many of you know if I don't know the purpose, this looks like hammer for driving nail, isn't it? Talk to me, somebody. Doesn't it look like hammer? So if I don't know the purpose of this thing, when I want to drive nail into my table that is shaky, I collect this microphone and I use it to drive nail and the thing scatters. And when it scatters, I start complaining. But what this thing does not know is that it is being abnormally used. It's called abuse. Your destiny will not be abused this year in the name of Jesus. Your purpose will not be misunderstood or misdirected in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen, somebody? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing gives life meaning like purpose. Nothing. So here comes this little girl that was born, was born by parents who died very early in life. And the moment the parents died, she had to be inherited or adopted by her uncle. And in her uncle's house, my opinion is that she would literally have been reduced to something like a house help. If we go by the trajectory of what happens in a place like Nigeria, where your parents die and the uncle inherits all the wealth of your parents. And then they now take you. And then, of course, their children will come priority before you. You know what I'm talking about. So here was this young girl. And the Bible said to us, one day the uncle came back from work and said to her, you're going for a beauty pageant. And she was like, uncle, please, let's discuss another matter. Not for people like me. The uncle said you are going for the pageantry. Cut a long story short, the young girl goes in for the pageantry and then wins the competition. And now she has become king. I mean, I want you to see where she's coming from. From pseudo house help, from somebody who was absolutely hopeless, having lost both parents and just managing to survive with her uncle, whose uncle is not a political office holder. The Bible said he was a security man at the palace of the king. And by CV, there was no hope of promotion for him to become a commissioner or some minister appointee. And here was this man, ladies and gentlemen, who suddenly, now Esther has become a first lady. Listen to this. If life changes suddenly for you like that, from a nobody to a somebody, you have great dreams for yourself. You have great vision for what you want to do. You are sitting there and say, it's maybe this. Hey, you see this suffer when I don't suffer. I go punish suffer, suffer go see me they run. Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? I go punish poverty. Poverty will see me and take off. So Esther has plans on how she wants to enjoy her life. Everything looks well and going. Until one day the uncle came and gave her a letter and said, read this letter before you shout too much. Read this letter as I'm talking. And she read the letter. And when she read it, there was a threat that the Jews would be killed. And the uncle said to her, you have to see the king ASAP before we are killed. And Esther began. Oh God. Esther said, you don't understand. There is a protocol in this palace. By virtue of that protocol, nobody appears before the king except the king has invited the person. Da, 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 da. The uncle says, shut up. Shut up. Let me say something to you. The uncle said, This thing I'm talking to you about will start with us. But don't think that you and your entire household will be spared. It will start with us, but it will eventually get to you. And he said to this, he said, listen, and if you refuse to do anything, by the God that I know, deliverance and enlargement will come from somewhere else. But there's only one question I want to ask you. Who knows if this is your purpose? Who knows if it was for this reason that you were born for such a time as this? Who knows if this was why you won the beauty pageant? So that you, that God has brought you as the first lady at this time, so you can save the rest of us. Who knows? Let me ask your neighbor and say, who knows? Who knows why your marriage failed? Who knows that if sometimes that marriage failed because God just wants to use that opportunity to teach you. There are lessons you have learned. You look at the mistakes you have made. You look at things you have learned. And now you are saying to younger ladies, listen to this. This and this is how you have become the best marriage counselor now as a result of the failure you went through. Who knows? Is anybody hearing me this morning? Who knows exactly why the things that you are going through, that your parents died this early in life and you've been through so much pain and now your heart is burning to say, you know what? I'm going to open the biggest, you know, the biggest feeding program or academic scholarship program for deprived, underprivileged children who don't have the opportunity of going to school. Listen to this. Everything you're going through is for a reason. And that is why, please, don't go through life without discovering purpose. It is criminal. Listen to this. And can I say this to you? Out of the five keys to discovering your purpose, please listen. One of them is your yesterday. Okay? Anybody hearing me? Your heart. Your ability. Your passion. Your personality. H-A-P-P-Y is what I'm giving you. Your passion. I begin again. Your heart. What's burning in your heart? Two, your ability. What's that thing you do so naturally? I mean, effortlessly. Number three, what is your passion? What that thing is always, if they wake you up 2 a.m., you will do it without thinking. It's your passion. Number three, your personality. If you are the quiet type who hates to see people, you just want a laptop, an air-conditioned room, and yourself, you cannot be a pastor. No, you can't be. You are not a people person. You are a systems person. Your personality type, as an extrovert, an introvert, and so on, also matters. And then finally is your why. What happened yesterday to you? If I'm to use another one, your shape. Number one, what are your spiritual gifts? Number two, what is your heart? Okay, S-H-A-P-A. Number three, what is your ability? What are those your natural abilities that you do effortless? And then number three, what is your personality? And finally, guess what? The E there means, what are your experiences? Your yesterday. What did you go through? And even the bad thing you went through has a great purpose. How many of you recall the lady called Tamar that was raped? Who was the king's daughter? Who recalls? Anybody recalls her? Let me tell you something about that girl missed something. Oh, if I was that girl, that girl missed something. Let me tell you, I was just thinking about this. You know, if Tamar had recovered from her rape and not died in isolation, desolate, let me tell you what I would have done as Tamar. After recovering from the rape, you know what I would do? I'd register an NGO called House of Tamar for the recovery of traumatized women. And as King's daughter, the day I'm launching that NGO, King's first daughter, Dangote is there. Otedola is there. Shell is represented. Zenith Bank is there. Jimovia. Aige Mogwede is there, Access Bank. Is anybody hearing me? In fact, United States Embassy is there. All the king's daughter, all the governors are present. What did they call them in Lagos? Iyalo Jabi? Is that what they call them in Lagos? Tinubu's daughter. She's called what? Pastor Biremi. Where are the Yoruba people in the house? She's a Yaloja now. I am opening an NGO, House of Tama, for traumatized women. We is who will be there. And then the opening of that NGO, the first part of the opening ceremony, I will share the story of how I was raped. Everybody will cry. When they finish crying, I said, ladies and gentlemen, if I, a king's daughter, can be raped, I want you to imagine the thousands of poor girls who are being raped all over the place. We must provide a haven of safety for girls who are traumatized. The money Dangote go give. In a few months, United Nations will invite me to give a speech. Is that true? Answer me now, is that true? UN will invite. There's nowhere in the world that won't receive invitations to come and just talk. Just come and share your story to traumatize women. See, whatever job she had before, she will resign from it and face that NGO full time and become one of the most fulfilled women on earth. Sadly, she died desolate because she didn't see any purpose behind her pain. There is a pointer to your destiny and your purpose in your pain. You had a child out of wedlock. My sister, there's a great ministry inside that thing. There are thousands of girls in church who have also had children out of wedlock, who need somebody like you who will mentor them, who will let them know that in the middle of that, there's a great ministry. Is anybody hearing me? What you carry me into this matter? What was I talking about? Okay. Let's look at the other side of purpose. I'm sorry. I have 2 months to go. It's 11 minutes to go. God help me. Let's look at the other side of purpose. John the Baptist. Everybody say John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was born, nobody had any doubt as to his purpose. What is his purpose? Number one, a voice in the wilderness. Number two, to prepare the way before the coming of the Messiah. Is that true? You push your answer, Mina. Is that true? So, very clear. And his own was so specific and clear that God was specific on his dress code. His dress code is camel skin. Am I right? God was specific about his food. His food is locust and wild honey. No pounded yam. Because you need to pray at night. You know what I'm talking about? Pounded yam is not allowed in his menu. It's not a laughing matter. Oh. There are certain assignments. I say to people, when you see a particular Christian sister dressed in a particular way, she not get earring, she dey cover the hair and so on, don't be quick to criticize. You don't know what the purpose is. You don't know. Leave her alone. You do your own, but don't be quick to judge other people. Because the purpose is between them and God. In the same way, when you see the one wearing trousers, keep your mouth shut. You also don't know her purpose. Are we in church? Okay now. So John the Baptist is here, and the Bible told us that he was hearing of the exploits of Jesus. I see, you know what pained John the Baptist? Every party Jesus they attend, and he they chop. It's in the Bible. Listen, it's in the Bible. Birthday is there. Wedding is there. He is suffering inside the wilderness. May one I ordained this boy into ministry. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? In fact, it was so bad that the Jews accused him of a wine bibber and a glutton. Is it on your Bible? Jesus is attending every party. John the Baptist, which kind of calling me this? Now some man begin to suffer under the name of calling. I'm going to leave this thing, I beg. So the Bible says one day, he got up, went to a designer shop, bought a suit. Yes, sir. Pastor, how do you see that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. The Bible says those that are in the palace are gorgeously appareled. You don't go to palace without being gorgeously dressed. So John the Baptist went to buy designer. Said Pastor Edwin. All right, so John the Baptist arranged himself, put on perfume, shows up at the gate. He says, ah, man of God, everything okay? The gate man is asking him now. Say, my friend, I want to see the king. Say, but man of God, we've always come to see you before in the wilderness. What's going on here? So listen, times have changed. I want to see the king. Cut a long story short, they gave him access to see the king. And he prophesied and said, God will punish you for marrying your brother's wife. And the king said, Now, if you read your Bible very well, before this time, this man called Herod was so angry, he wanted to kill John the Baptist. The Bible says, for fear of the people, he could not. You remember? Now, John the Baptist has left his purpose, left his assignment, crossed over to a place where there's no guarantee of protection. He has left God's covering. He has abandoned purpose. And here was John the Baptist now inside palace. And as he finished insulting the king said, I will show you. I'm not called His Excellency for nothing. That's how they arrested John the Baptist and kept him in prison, waiting for what he would do with him. The king was no longer afraid because God was not in the business of the prophecy that he came to prophesy. Please, are you still with me?
Yes.
You know the rest of the story. The birthday of Herod came and they commuted the head of John the Baptist. Why did John the Baptist lose his head? Don't tell me it's the will of God for him to die that way. Except you don't know your Bible. Don't tell me. If, in case you have forgotten, Jesus said of every man born of a woman, there's none as great as John the Baptist. Not one. Don't tell me God's desire was a man that great will die in the hands of a small girl who said, give me the head of John the Baptist. What a way to die. Listen, walking in your purpose preserves you. That was why when Jonah decided that he's not going to any Nineveh, to hell with Nineveh, I'm escaping to Tarshish. As he entered the ship, protection left him. So guess what? The people, and the ship was made up of Igbo men carrying containers from China. And one by one, they were throwing their container. Until one of them said, now bank loan, I say, arrange this good so. I won't explain to Zenith Bank when I enter Nigeria. Say the container that I was bringing so I can settle the debt I took. That's why I threw him for river. And then I saw this joker sleeping. So, God, you will tell us why you are sleeping when everybody is throwing away their goods. And Jonah said, you put stop throwing your container. I'm the one responsible for this thing. Anyway, long story short, ladies and gentlemen, do you know they threw him into the sea? And that was our... But the point I'm making is this. Jonah left his purpose. His purpose was Nineveh. That direction he took was what put him in trouble. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice that in the name that is above every other name, may the Almighty God cause you to walk in purpose in 2026 in the name of Jesus. You will walk in purpose 2026 in the name of Jesus. You will not step out of your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you aware the Bible says no matter how gifted an athlete is, if he does not run in his own lane, he will be disqualified. So I don't care how much you're working. If you're not working on where God called you to do, that reward that is meant for you will go to someone else. But may you not miss your purpose in the name of Jesus. I said, may you not miss your purpose in the name of Jesus. Time is gone. 5 minutes to go. Let me enter the next one. The next one is called covenant. Everybody say covenant. My God, are you still in church? Say covenant. For the last time, say covenant. I wish I could talk about Paul on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, a covenant is a spiritual binding contract. A covenant is a spiritual binding contract. And like marriage, covenant is a mutual ownership. Now, I want everybody to please look up here. Are you still with me? I can't hear you. Are you still with me? All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've come to realize that I think it's in Deuteronomy 7:9 where God was speaking about covenant. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I don't have time to go through the rest of that, but just to let you know, God keeps covenant and mercy. Are you still with me? Talk to him. Are you still with me? Now listen, covenant is like marriage. In marriage, a man gives his woman full ownership. The woman gives the man full ownership of everything. That's why the first law of marriage is not I own it, it's we own it. Anybody hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Until it begins to show sign that anytime we own it, it needs to stay. That's for another sermon. If I enter, they won't come out. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? Now, please listen. Covenant is like marriage. You own fully. he owns fully. It's so bad that the Bible says even when you want to go and fast to God, you will first of all go to the man and say, you own this body, but I want to take permission the next 3 days, no show for you. Because the next 3 days, I want to seek the face of God. And you now beg the man to please hold himself so you can hold yourself and you can face God. That's how the Bible says. That's how much of ownership we have in covenant. Are you with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you with me, somebody? Please also note this. That when it comes to covenant, there are two types of covenant. There are general covenants, but there are also personal covenants. So Israel has a general covenant with God. Are you with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you with me, somebody? But are you aware that individuals in the Bible has personal covenants? For example, David had a covenant of the everlasting mercies of God. So, as a Christian, House on the Rock has a general covenant. It's our year of extravagant love and so on. But as a Christian, Pastor, do you want to be extraordinary, outstanding, successful, and great in 2026? The one thing you must do, enter into personal covenant with God. Pastor, can you give me an example of personal covenant? Number one, covenant of purity. Job said, I have entered a covenant with my eyes. I cannot look at a woman lustfully. It's a covenant. Enter into a covenant of purity. Father, this is 2026. I come before you. Before this fasting is over, I'm entering a covenant with God. No more will Joe touch my body until he pays dowry. No more will I continue to stay with Emeka. I am packing out of his house. Why? Because I don't want to continue in what I continued in 2025. I am entering into a covenant of purity. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Pastor, what is the benefit of me entering into a covenant of purity? Very simple. Every time you enter into a covenant of purity, you are already preparing yourself to be used for the purposes of God. Pastor, how do I know that? In a great house, there are many vessels. Some to honor, some to dishonor. There are some vessels in your house, they only fit for dustbin. Is that true? Somebody talk to me now. There are some vessels in your house, they only fit for when you want to serve the dog. Am I correct? There are other vessels in your house, when pastor or a serious visitor is coming, you bring them out of the cupboard. Am I correct? Please answer me, am I correct? It depends on which one you want to serve. As one who has consecrated and said, Lord, I dedicate my body for the purpose of purity in 2026. This is one of the covenant I'm entering. Let me tell you what heaven begins to do. God begins to set you apart and say, God, when we have a special project, you know, when America wants to go to take over another president in Venezuela, it's not everybody they send. There is a special force that went. Is that true? People should answer me now. Not everybody goes for missions like that. They call them elite squad. They are like spirits. You don't know when they come. You don't know when they go. Or you don't know that mission is accomplished. Consecrating yourself before God simply is saying, Lord, now I'm a vessel unto honor. You can use me for your purposes. And the day of use, you don't even know. That's why when God was shopping for the virgin that will carry the pregnancy of the Messiah, there were many virgins in Israel, but there was one. The Bible says she was highly favored. I don't know the details of that 17-year-old girl called Mary, but one of her consecration was that she preserved her virginity. I don't know who I'm talking to. This year, I pray, as you consecrate your purity before God, may the Lord use you for special assignments, use you for unusual assignments, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. My God, I cannot hear your amen. Amen. Another covenant is a covenant of mercy. Pastor, what is the covenant of mercy? Father, in 2026, when anybody offends me, before they say I'm sorry, I don't forgive them. I know they carry bitterness. It's too expensive. Oh God, are you still in church this morning? I need, not for their sake, for my own sanity and for my own health. I need to wait for your sorry. I'm sorry. Whether you are sorry or not sorry, if you offend me, I don't forgive. As you're coming to say I'm sorry, say, I don't forgive you before you say I'm sorry. Don't worry yourself. Guess what? Pastor, what is the benefit of a covenant of mercy? The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. For they shall do what? I can't hear you. They shall do what? It was that mercy that the man called David, kept showing to a king that wants to assassinate him. So much that at the point of assassination, he was still calling him my father. My father. My father. My father. If the man don't pursue and enter wilderness to kill him, he don't get chance to kill the man. He don't get kill the man. Then by the time the man wake up, he was looking at the assassin, calling him my father. Not me. But guess what? David did it. What was the blessing of it, ladies and gentlemen? By the time God was entering into the covenant of the sure mercies of David, Oga, the man counts Israel, a sin that was committed by him. God slaughtered everybody apart from the man. Is anybody hearing me? That's the man that committed adultery, also killed the husband of the woman, and God still calls him a man after my heart. Please, is anybody hearing me? Listen to this. That Absalom could not kill David was not because David was smart. Was because he had entered a covenant with God that nobody can kill him. Are we still together? Have I lost you already? Please, have I lost you already? Pastor, what are you saying? Enter into a covenant of mercy this year. Say to yourself, it's too expensive for me to harbor bitterness in 2026. It's too expensive for me to carry grudges. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to. Oh, guy, it's too expensive. Can't you see you're getting older and older the more you frown? You look older when you frown. You look better when you laugh. Are we in church? Are we still in church? It's called a covenant of mercy. This year, no grudges, no bitter. Another one is called the covenant of prosperity. Somebody say covenant of prosperity. My God, can you talk to me? Say covenant of prosperity. What's the covenant of prosperity? Lord, I am entering into a covenant with you this year that I will never fail in giving you my tithe or standing with you financially. Now, this is your part. Your part is that, Lord, I know that 2025, I was joking. Once in a while, I will give tithe. Once in a while, I will not give. Once in a while, when it is convenient. But this year, I have entered a covenant with you. No devil, no Tinubu will stop me from paying my tithe this year. I have entered a covenant with you that I will always be with you and stand with you and I will give to you. I shared a testimony in the first service. I don't know whether to share it here because it looks like it makes some people angry. Did it make people angry? So I was speaking on altars, which is one of the secrets that sponsor life. And I said, this year, I began my year by, first of all, raising an altar with my pastor, which is what I do every year. And then, of course, I raise an altar, you know, in church. And then I went to preach in a minister's conference where I was called to preach. And the Holy Spirit said, take a seat, because they have a massive, you know, project going on there. The Lord said, take a seat. And I called for a seat. And I said, come and join me to give ₦1 million each on the project. Join me, meaning I'm the first to give. Am I correct? As I was talking that, there was no 100,000 in my account. Please listen to this. So eventually, I made the call, I prayed for the people, and I left. The next morning, I wanted to send, is it 10,000 or 20,000 to my PA? As I picked my account, I saw an alert of 1 million. The name is an Awusa name. It's a woman. I don't know her. I went through my phone. There's no name like that. You know, some people's name you save, but you have forgotten about them. There was no name like that. I now took the name and went to Facebook. I said she must be a member of House on the Rock Abuja because I'm going to preach in House on the Rock Abuja. And in the seed, the woman wrote, it's a seed for Reset Conference. Now, Reset Conference was taking place in Abuja and I'm going to preach there. So I said, okay, this is a member of House on the Rock Abuja. I went to her Facebook page. There's no picture of House on the Rock anywhere. No House on the Rock pastor, no sign of House on the Rock, no nothing. The only picture I saw is the picture of Emmanuel Kure. That's the only picture I saw there. As I'm talking to you, I'm still looking for the woman. No, it's not a laughing matter. Because I don't know her. 1 million naira in my account. So immediately, of course, I know that money is not my money. I quickly sent it and redeemed my seed. Now, I'm believing God to pay a school fee in dollars. And I will not mention the amount. But the figure will make some of you dizzy. So, the year is coming. I don't know what to do. And me and my family, we've already prayed and said, Lord, you will provide for us as you have always done. Sir, in less than 1 week after I release that seed, the school fee, I don't want to mention the amount, was complete. Between Port Harcourt, Abuja, Lagos, where I preached last Sunday, my school fee was complete. I mean, I'm just saying, bam, 1 million, bam, 1 million, bam. That's I'm just saying money entering my account. Money entering my account. It's a covenant. When they were saying travel ban, I was in America. Every pastor friend of mine from all over said, Pastor, don't travel. You don't know. You may not come back. Oh, I say, ah, now heaven be this place. If I not come back, no phone call, my family will come back and join me. It's as simple as that. Ah, what are you talking about? Listen, I said go to Fiakwa. Than me. Crossover service. I'm sitting in one place. Time for me to be doing fasting and prayer with my church. I'm sitting. I said, now heaven be this place. To hell with you people. If I not come back, I not come back. I bring my family come back. Nobody go die. Gentlemen, listen to me. Listen to me. I say before my eyes, it was not 1 week. It was a few days. School fee running into thousands of dollars was complete and paid. I can't explain it, but I'm giving you mysteries that sponsor life. Mysteries that power destinies. And I'm saying to you, one of them is called covenant. Enter covenant with God this morning. Dare God this morning. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I enter a covenant with you concerning my titan, that in 2026, I will stand with you. Come rain, come sun, I'll be faithful. I'll be committed. I'll be obedient to the covenant of my giving. As I believe God for heaven to be faithful in the covenant of my prosperity, I enter this covenant with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You better shout a living amen.
Amen.
I don't have much time. I would have entered into other covenants, but my covenant, my time is almost gone. Please enter a covenant of intimacy. Say to yourself, 2026, we fast once in a week. 2026, I must join 5 a.m. online prayers. Or even if you don't want to join us, have your personal time of prayer. 2026, no breakfast until I've done my Bible challenge. One chapter, two chapter, three chapter. 2026, except I'm out of town, I no go miss program for church. I no go miss my midweek service. I will not miss that special program. Listen to this. This is how the saints win in life. The secrets and the mysteries that sponsor life are always connected with covenant. Let me tell you the beauty of covenant. If this is all I say before I wrap up, no problem. Let me tell you the beauty of a covenant. I said covenant is like marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, look up here. How many of you know that in marriage, there's a different way your wife asks for money, different from your side chick? Pastor, are you trying to insinuate some people have side chick? I know some people have side chick. Guess what? When your wife is asking for money, honey, we need to. When a side chick is asking, she is saying, I need a phone. I need a that. I need a that. See, why is the wife so authoritative? Now we get them together. Yes, you are the one that worked for it, but both of us own it together. And in that covenant of marriage, we have vowed to have all our earthly treasures and riches to be owned by the both of us mutually. But I always have a caveat though. If the man is an irresponsible spender, you better have another account for the sake of the children and the future of the family. If the man is a stupid man, when they see money, once he see money, he no go sleep until the money is spent. You cannot mortgage the destiny of the entire family with that man. Is anybody hearing me? And if na woman also, not the same thing. There are some women that school fee has not been paid, but she wants to buy the same gold that her neighbor is wearing. Plot of land will never get, but she wants to dress so that the whole world will clap for her. Oga, better have another account. These are practical issues we're dealing with. Am I correct? Okay, come on for here. The second and the last one is called power. Everybody say power.
Power.
My God, I can't hear you say power.
Power.
For the last time, say power.
Power.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you this morning that the thing about life is that every destiny oppression is rooted in powerlessness. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody shout power.
Power.
I can't hear you say power.
Power.
For the last time, say power.
Power.
Please, I want you to listen attentively. Power is so important. Life is very merciless to the powerless. In fact, let me tell you two things. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Talk to me. Are you still with me?
Yes.
There are two things, ladies and gentlemen, that will make you suffer in life. One is moneylessness. The other one is powerlessness. Nothing makes you suffer in life like when there's no money. Suffer. This year you go carry money.
Yes.
I prophesy over you, money will enter your hand.
Yes.
Money will enter your hand. Money will enter your hand. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The second one is called powerlessness. Powerlessness. Why do you think that Jesus, from the time he resurrected, said, I know you guys want to preach. You are excited because I've risen from the dead. But you guys should calm down. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. After then, you will become my witness. Without the power, you will become a noise maker. So get the power first. After then, you can enter. I want to beg you. Pastor, why are we doing this 21 days? Will they pray for morning? Will they pray for night? Will they do this one? Will they do that one? Oga, na power, oh. Na power, oh. Ah, God, I wish you would help me today. Are you aware? The Apostle Paul, everybody listen to this. The Apostle Paul was simply, the Bible says after Paul and Silas separated, he went on a journey and he got to a particular place where the governor became his friend. And the governor gave him opportunity to come and minister. Let me see if I can get that scripture out. Somebody say power. I can't hear you say power. For the last time, say power. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 6. When they had gone through the isles unto Paphos. Now, so, give me verse 12. Verse 12. Give me verse 12. Give me verse 12. Acts 13, 12. I said 12, not 6. The deputy, when he saw what was done, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Give me the next one. Okay, fine. So, here was Paul. Now Paul and his company. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I don't belong to you any longer. Let me read my Bible. Please, are you still with me? Talk to me, are you still with me? Let me read verse 11 four times. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the house unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was called Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy. Now here is this false pastor hanging to this politician. And he's been giving him all kinds of false prophecies, false prophecies, false prophecies. Suddenly now comes this genuine man of God, Apostle Paul. Immediately, Apostle Paul was a threat to this false prophet. Because the fear is, let him not come and cut off my money. They say, remember how this same Paul, one day, it was Peter. One small girl was prophesying, these are men of God, these are men of God, with the spirit of divination. They now cast out the spirit. Now so, the owner of the girl, money in the flow again. You remember that story? Answer me now. That's how the whole city went into riot and they beat Peter. You remember the story? This man called Elimas, the sorcerer, the magician, is aware of this. So he became threatened. Please read your Bible. It says, and which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul. And this man now pretended like he wants to hear the word of God. Guess what? But Elimas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, oh, full of subtlety, all and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Cut a long story short, Paul dashed in blindness. You know why Paul made him blind? That what that guy wanted to do to Paul was to make Paul blind. Is anybody hearing me? You are going out for evangelism. Listen to this. You have no idea how many people are throwing enchantments at you, divination at you. Listen, listen. Some of you have not yet understood that the reason why it looks like your shop is going down is that while you are snoring at home, there is a woman whose shop is not far from your own who comes at 12 midnight to sweep front of your shop. There is another neighbor who has a shop close to you who comes to urinate in front of your shop. And yet there is another one who has packed sand from your shop and taken it somewhere and they are speaking over the sand. Divert all the customers. Divert all the customers. Divert all the customers. Life is merciful to the moneyless and to the powerless. This is not that year where you want to be casual about your life, your business, your job, your ministry, and your destiny. See, the Bible says we live in a very wicked world. And whether you like it or not, the wickedness is getting worse by the day. How many of you saw a video in Ebonyi State here of young girls captured from different parts of Nigeria and taken there for prostitution? 15-year-old, 14-year-old girls. Abba! What kind of money are we looking for? What kind of money are we looking for? In that same 1 week was the story of a young girl who a friend's brother saw the photograph of the girl and said to the girl, I like yours. Said to his sister, I like your friend. Connect me with her. The sister innocently connected the brother with this beautiful girl. And then, since there was somebody introducing him to her, she too opened up to love. And then the guy gave her an appointment. See me at so-and-so place. That day she got there, was calling the guy. Calling the guy. The guy said, I'm coming. Move to this other junction. Cut a long story short, that guy bundled that beautiful girl, took her somewhere, butchered her, and used her for ritual. How many of you saw that story? It's all over the internet. This is not a normal thing in Nigeria. I don't want to deal with, how many of you saw the video of those secondary school children smoking hemp and taking drugs? This is real. This is life in secondary schools going on in Nigeria. Oga, wickedness has put on technology. If you still want to navigate 2026 without power, I wish you safe journey, but I don't know how you are doing it. You need to show me. But as for me and my household, we will not give up until power comes. Why are we praying? Why are we fasting? Why are we giving ourselves to speaking in tongues like we don't know what to do? It's because we know we can't do it without power. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's why I want to challenge you this year. Please, in the name of God, don't step out of your house without prayer. Don't step out of your house. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Take time, speak in tongues. Take the word of God. Take one memory verse. Take one chapter. Take two chapters. Engage in spiritual warfare. There is a devil out there who will not rest until you die. There's somebody out there who has already taken your husband's tokens and has vowed this year your marriage will break and she will take over your husband. There's another person out there who has stolen your bra, saying that you must end up with breast cancer this year. There's a wickedness going on there. You are the only one who is so stupid and dumb, you don't know what's going on, and you are taking life casually. Listen to this. Anybody who is casual in this dispensation will become a casualty. Remember, the ability of fly to perch in the stove depends on the intensity of the temperature of the stove. There's a stove that is convenient for every fly to perch. There's another one that the fly know that if I enter here, I do it at my own peril. Be that child of God that they never born the devil when you want to begin play around your house. Lift up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you, say in the name of Jesus. My God, I'm not hearing you, say in the name of Jesus. Say, my Father, my Father. Say, 2026, I receive power. I receive power. I receive power. I receive power in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I will not go through this year without walking in power. Say, the Bible says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. I can't hear you, say, rule thou in the midst of your enemy. This month I declare, I will rule in the midst of my enemies. Say, I will rule in the midst of my enemy.
I will rule in the midst of my enemy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I will not walk through this year casually. I will not become a casualty. I will be too hot for the devil to handle. My life will be on fire. My destiny is on fire. My prayer life is on fire. Everything around me is on fire. Nothing missing, nothing broken. No devil can play around me. Say, this year, I am untouchable. I'm unstoppable. Power follows me. Grace follows me. Anointing follows me. Rekete nakaya. Right on your feet. Zebede nekombreke sudebeleke. Eskembele nanu sandela kodia. Arasambeleko sobelania. Aranakus kebedete. Entededina rozile pelia. Razmante belekonde bratananzu. Alando kosepe pepe. Zezemende lebo. Arandeko sutanania. Rambalande koko rebedene sobeledine. Ebregedenende remende koskepele. Los manta branda nana non se velea e preketu ne bende la brande cosila irian temenendo brocos ke bende braga de negombria shalabande brocoto no zensmente braga de nias.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I want everybody to please listen to this. They're going to call you from home. Please, are you hearing me, somebody? I don't know who this is for, but they will call you from home. They will give you a very bad prophecy, either about your debt or about something terrible. The prophecy will come. And thus saith the Lord. Number one, do not fast that fasting they want you to do. Number two, do not give that sacrifice they ask you to give. They will give you a negative prophecy from home. It's going to come. For some of you to come this month. If you fast that fasting, you've already accepted the prophecy. If you send that money they say you should send for sacrifice, you've accepted the prophecy. And the moment you accept it, you have activated the prophecy to start happening in your life. Stand with God. Stay with God. Cook yourself. Generate power for yourself. Don't be a victim to prophets and to babalawos who are carrying Bible and wearing suits. Don't be a permanent customer to false prophets. Listen, the days of your childishness are over. Paul said, once upon a time, I talked like a child, I behaved like a child, I ran around every prophet, I was scared of every prophecy. Now I've become a man and I put away childish things. This year, I prophesy over you, you must grow up in the name of Jesus. You must grow up in the name of Jesus. You will walk in power in the name of Jesus. Walk in authority in the name of Jesus. Walk in signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. No devil will touch your children. No devil will touch your house. No devil will touch your life. No devil will afflict you with sickness. By the power of God, I declare you are delivered in the name of Jesus. You are delivered in the name of Jesus. Power will bubble out of your life. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not born again yet, I have 1 minute to pray for you. Put your two hands on your chest. I don't think it's the time to cajole you. You already know that these things I'm talking about, you can't access them because you're not a child of God. But you can access them right now. All you need is to be obedient. This is the beginning of the year. It's the right time to make your peace with God. Can you put your two hands and say, my Father, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus died for my sins. This morning, I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I surrender all to him. Lord Jesus, take over my heart and my life. And I want to be a child of God. I receive power to walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray for everyone who has prayed that prayer this morning. Let the glory of God sit upon you. Let the power of sonship rest upon you. And I pray you will never go back home the same way you came. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name. Can you stretch your two hands, everybody? I pray. Every power, every grace, every anointing, everything you need to be able to rule in the midst of your enemies in 2026. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Those you once ran away from, they will see you and they will run away. I said, those you ran away from in your village, in your home, that uncle you used to be scared, I declare, they will see you and they will run away. They will see you and they will take off. In the name of Jesus, I consecrate you as a woman, as a man carrying power in 2026. I consecrate you as a woman of covenant, as a man of covenant. I consecrate you in 2026 as one who is walking in your divine purpose. I consecrate you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Give God praise in the house this morning.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.